Good morning, everybody. Afternoon, whatever time I'm getting around to posting this. Brian Newbert here from goldenblack.com. Alan Karpik over there from goldenblack.com. This is our weekly goldenblack.com Saturday simulcast. Thank you so much, as always, to the Peruvian Club Hotel for your promotional support. This is our opening segment. We're not going to really talk about Purdue here until later when Tom Dienhart joins me, but I wanted to start off. We moved into the unfamiliar position of making news ourselves this week with our company's partnership forged with the Boilermaker Alliance, the Purdue Collective. I just wanted to bring on Alan here real quick before he climbs into his hammock for vacation, just to clarify some things, just to explain this all and how this is going to work. So, Alan, you love the term elevator pitch, meaning a short explanation of your thoughts, your proposals. Let me just turn it over to you real quick to hit all your topics on what exactly this means for us moving forward, what this means for our longtime members, and so on and so forth.
Well, this may be an elevator up one world trade, at least in terms of time, just because it may take a little bit longer than a short ride. But no, Brian, we've worked out a relationship with the Boilermaker Alliance. Everybody knows that's the Purdue Collective. And it's really, we've looked at this, has been working on this for 2 to 3 months in a way that they were looking, the Boilermaker Alliance, looking at the need for content and for its collective. As many people know, they've gone into a situation where they are actively looking for members, and they needed a content provider. They came to us, and we certainly were in a position to fill that, so that if you become a member of the Boilermaker Alliance, you will get a subscription to goldenblack.com. We will also produce some content for the Boilermaker Alliance, and it's really
extra content.
Extra content,
right?
And important to understand that it's really that is the heart and soul of the agreement. We look at that, to be honest, as the opportunity to be get have better access to coaches, certainly in football, and certainly on down the line. We think that will do a better job in our reporting, and also it will be a thing where this is a new thing for everybody, and we're in a situation. This is not an agreement with Purdue Athletics. This is an agreement with the Boilermaker Alliance. And from an editorial standpoint, Tom Dienhart and Brian Newbert will be able to ask the questions they usually ask. That's you, Brian. And we look at this as a net positive. And yet we also know that a lot of this is a moving target and moving forward. But the Alliance needs to be able to garner NIL funds. And this is the way that they chose to try to solicit membership. And early on, this has started on Tuesday afternoon, and we've had good success early on.
Just want to make it crystal clear. I'm speaking for myself here. I think I speak for our whole company. This does not take away a thing from the memberships to our site that many of you have come to know and mostly tolerate for many, many years. This is an extra deal. We do have the infrastructure in place to handle this extra stuff, but you will not see your longstanding goldenblack.com subscriptions diminish in value in any way, shape, or form. Absolutely promise you that. If anything, it will make it better, because the more we are around the people we cover, the better we are at covering them. And that, I cannot make that clear enough to all of you. And Alan, I'm sorry if I stepped on your toes there.
No, and that's exactly
one
right.
One of your points to make. Yeah. We will make damn certain that this does not change anything for anyone who's just not looking for change. If you're part of the Alliance, you will get this extra content. It is extra content. Cannot emphasize that enough. So, Alan, is there anything else you want to add here?
Well, yeah, and I think it's the important thing. We will, yes, it's going to be housed on the Boilermaker Alliance message board on our site, but we will still, conversation will always is and always will be on Knucklehead Central, and that's a key thing. And Brian's and Tom and myself interjecting on that is important. And you're right. That is a key factor for us. And that is that key thing. And the most important thing is that nothing changed. We just think it's going to can make things better. You know, there have been some things mentioned out about old topics like Coordinator's Corner. We haven't done Coordinator's Corner for over 12 years. Why? Because we haven't had the same access that we've always had. So we have to look at things from an access standpoint and move this forward. And this is also one thing about the Alliance itself. These are a lot of guys that are goldenblack.com subscribers or people we know and we trust. And it is a situation that we believe will move some things forward. But we also know that the world is changing in that area as much as possible. And we're trying to be as flexible and as nimble as we can moving forward. Anything you want to add? Because you got that I haven't hit on.
I want to add that, you know, sometimes when there's an illusion of someone's integrity being compromised, go ask the people they deal with. I've in 20 some years doing this, I'll just say for myself, I've never had my integrity questioned. Tom, over a very long career, has never had his integrity questioned, at least by people who know what the hell they're talking about. I think our work over a very long period of time speaks for itself. And I think that's why this came about, is if it wasn't us, it would be someone else. And you can either have the experienced people who have a long track record of credibility doing this, not to pat ourselves on the back too hard, but it is what it is. Or you could have some ham and egger going out and, you know, producing this sort of content.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly
all we got. Like,
yeah, precisely the reason why we're working with the Boilermaker Alliance, and that is a credit, absolutely, to not that you were asking for it or Tom, but it's a credit to the work that's been done. And yet we still have the same tact we always have, and that's we'd like to do a little bit better and be a little bit different. Maybe this will give us we think this can give us an opportunity to do that. So, Brian, thank you for letting me come in on the show to express this, but I do think it's a
Your point. Show.
Yeah, well, that's right. It's our show. But hey, thanks, and I think it'll be a good situation down the road.
That's what we got. We will continue on here shortly with Tom Dienhart to talk about the festivities at Big Ten Media Day, the Burning Man of covering college football, especially in the Big Ten. So, all right, thank you, Alan.
All right, thanks, Brian.
All right, we are back with our goldenblack.com Saturday simulcast, joined now by the distinguished Tom Dienhart, who has now kicked out all the rubber granules from his shoes after spending the last couple days on the Lucas Oil Stadium field at Big Ten Media Day, where once again we learned that everyone is dreading the start of the season. Everyone's team sat on their ass all summer and ate tacos and is completely unprepared for the season, and so on and so forth. Tom, I know I just took that in a weird direction, but that's kind of what I do. So what were kind of some of your big takeaways from the, I guess, what coaches often refer to as the unofficial start of the season?
Yeah, you know, I guess from an overarching standpoint, up away from a Purdue perspective, you know, the hazing stuff was obviously a big center of attention. And given what's going on at Northwestern and then why we were down there the day before PJ Fleck supposed to go on the dais, some story breaks about, you know, allegations of player mistreatment at Minnesota. I asked Ryan Walters that. We had a scrum before he got on the stage, and I asked him, and he said they Purdue's got a players' council, and they about 15 to 18 players, I believe he said they had, and they try to deal with those things, any issues that may come up among the program. They always try to have an open line of communication, I guess, try to stay in front of things, any big issues that pop up. So obviously, this is on everybody's radar, and as you know, Brian, it's a very much a player-centric era on a lot of levels. You got to be sympathetic and open-minded and have open dialogue with your team. And it sounds like Ryan Walters and Purdue have mechanisms in place that would hopefully prevent any any type of any crazy hazing scenarios unfolding here at Purdue.
Yeah, that's what you just can't do anymore these days, because it's a very different era from back in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s. Stuff doesn't fly anymore. I'd imagine this was a big week for the word embattled at Big Ten Media Day, because you had all the Northwestern stuff going on. You had the stuff come out about Minnesota, which may or may not be credible. I guess time will tell. We had the Jim Harbaugh suspension that got swiftly no commented into oblivion. Mm-hmm. Kind of a good opportunity, I guess, for everyone else to sort of fly under the radar. You would like, if you're Purdue and you have Big Ten Media Day an hour from your campus, you'd like to get a lot of attention from that. But what was kind of the response to Purdue in terms of interest in their new look program, you think?
I think there's interest, but like you said, there are a lot of headlines this year, Big Ten Media Day. Even among the new hires, Brian, let's be honest. I mean,
that too.
Brad Wings and Matt Rhule. I mean, that's a big hire for a program that's been searching for its savior since they fired Frank Solich 20 years ago. And then, of course, Luke Fickell going to Wisconsin. I mean, my goodness, that's almost a World at War headline as well. You know, one of the game's hottest young coaches taking over a very strong Wisconsin Badger program. And then there's Ryan Walters. I mean, he kind of gets third billing, if you will, understandably, among that trio of new hires that have been on the job for 8 months or so. And I mean, again, like you maybe alluded to, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe people would have certainly would like to have more pop at Media Day with this new coach. And Ryan did a great job. I thought a good job on the dais. And he always handles himself pretty well in the public setting. He's very at ease, Brian. He's very comfortable in his own skin. He's engaging, never dismissive, and he can move in about any social circle you have, I believe. And you can see why he's a good recruiter and a well-liked person. So, yeah, he had his time on the main stage, and then, of course, his other, individual podium time as well. But it's generally seemed to be well-received. The stuff that's been written has been pretty positive. The honeymoon continues to rage. We know that. The big headline, I think, the first few months has been his recruiting, right?
Yeah.
And, I think they've got 21 commits and three or four four-star guys, and they've caught some momentum there. But, you know, here comes September 2nd, and I think the proof will be in the pudding. I think that the big question remains on how the staff is going to perform on game days, right? I think most importantly, I always wonder about how are you going to handle adversity. If things go wrong, I mean, that's really when you find out the most about people. If they start 0-3 or 0-4, if things are really struggling on one side of the ball, if it feels like your house is falling down around you, how are you handling yourself? Because everybody can do great when things are rolling for you, but you're really measured, I think, by how you deal with things when they're not going like you want them to go. And that comes for everybody in life. Comes for every team every year, maybe two or three times. Comes in the course of a football game and a basketball game, two or three times. So I think that's what I want to see, is how they deal with adversity, how they make adjustments. Things happen so fast on game days, and that's ultimately, as you know, no big observation, how these guys are measured and judged. So it's all right at Ryan Walters' feet here, 37 years old. It's going to be fun, Brian, but I tell you what, he's got a heck of a schedule to navigate as well.
Yeah, yeah. Too early to know how a situation like this, a coach might respond to adversity, you know, things like that, because things get real when the season starts. And,
sure,
you know, Purdue's probably not going to go undefeated this year. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch throughout the season, something you can't really tell in off-season interviews.
No.
What was I going to say here next? So Purdue gets picked, what, number 6 in the Big Ten West after winning the Big Ten West or sharing the Big Ten West last year. Probably not all that surprising, considering the fact that this isn't a well-known roster. You know, when you say somebody's a returning champion in a division but that they lose so many key pieces. They're restarting with a new coach. How did Purdue sort of, I guess, speak to that and spin that, if at all?
Well, I mean, somebody asked Ryan about that. That Cleveland.com poll is probably the most credible preseason Big Ten poll. They survey media across the conference, and Purdue received votes, you know, ranging from third place, from as high as finishing third to last. I mean, somebody picked Purdue to finish last in the Big Ten West behind Northwestern.
Yeah, that's a bold statement.
Anyway, so yeah, Ryan's, I wrote a little notebook yesterday, and his quote was, I mean, we see it. He said, it isn't a secret. It's how everybody feels. We just have to have a chip on our shoulders and have something to prove. So there you go. I got a feeling that this staff is very attuned to what's written probably. And they know what's going on out there. They know what people are saying. And it can be just another piece of fuel for the program moving forward here. And, you know, sixth, it's a little low, I thought. I thought, you know, maybe fourth or fifth, but who knows? I think, first I'll say this, I don't want to get into a big Big Ten West breakdown here, but, you know, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota, I think, would be my pecking order there. And then you got that group of Illinois, Nebraska, and Purdue, and that second group of three. And I think that's who Purdue's going to be battling with to maybe finish as high as fourth there. So it will be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Now to the portion of the show where we discredit the preseason voting. Shout out to our longtime friend of the site, Nathan Baird, for organizing that unofficial Big Ten preseason poll. That's a thankless task. That has taken the burden off the Big Ten to do that sort of stuff. So that's a very valuable service he's providing to the college football community, as Brendan Quinn and such have done for basketball as well over the years. So how in the hell are we supposed to know who's good anymore? Because everybody's breaking in all these transfers and we have no idea. So how much do these polls even matter? I don't know how much they mattered before, but they were generally much more correct than they were wrong. But nowadays, like, Purdue's got like 20 dudes coming in who all were recruited not to sit on the bench. So how do we know?
Yeah, we know.
What should we make of this?
Nobody knows. It's just kind of I guess it's an educated opinion, but still, it's just pure guesswork. Obviously, it's fun, the speculation, the conjecture, the predictions. Everybody loves the prognostication. Everybody loves trying to predict the future here, and just more for entertainment's purposes. Really, it's impossible, like you alluded to, the roster transition make these teams very difficult to figure out. Guys who are 18 to 22 years old, I mean, their development, who knows what's been going on in their development. These aren't seasoned pros in the NFL where maybe things are a little more cut and dry when it comes to trying to predict how your personnel is going to perform. So, again, just a lot more volatility in these college rosters and the college-age player as well. So I think it's really hard to – nah, I wouldn't put a lot of stock in them either. So it'll be interesting to see. With Purdue, obviously, they're going to rely heavily on transfers. You know, Ryan Walters wanted to hit the portal pretty hard, and he did. The secondary and the offensive line were the biggest areas as far as importing talent goes. And how will those areas come together, Brian? I'm not sure. And then there's the quarterback, you know Hudson Card. Some people think maybe he's underrated. And he's going to be the straw that stirs the drink, to give you Daryl Strawberry. That's not Daryl Strawberry. That's a Reggie Jackson reference. I know you're a Yankees fan. The straw that stirs Purdue's drink will be Hudson Card, number one. And I tell you what, Hudson Card, I'm going to have a real big feature story on him that I'm going to probably post early next week before camp opens. I had a chance to spend some time with Hudson, talk to his mom and dad and his high school coach and some other people. I figured nobody's done a big Hudson Card story, Brian. Most important guy on the team. I asked myself one day, I said, what do I even know about this guy? So hopefully I can enlighten other people as well and kind of give them a little picture of Hudson Card, the face of your program in 2023. But he seems like a good young man. Kind of soft-spoken, kind of understated, not bombastic. This isn't Jim McMahon or Brett Favre as far as a personality goes. So I think there's a calm, cool placidness to him. It seems to be a, and we'll see if that translates under fire. You know, Brian, he has some experience. You know, he started a few games at Texas. Doesn't have a lot of experience. So, yeah, he checks all the boxes skill set-wise, supposedly, too. You know, running this air raid-based offense, throwing it and running it. So he seems to be well-embraced as a teammate, too. So they just got to keep him healthy. And I looked this up one time, Brian. The last time Purdue started the same quarterback in every game in a season was 2016, David Blau.
Yeah, wow. That's not a recipe for
you know, sometimes guys get benched for bad play. We saw Jeff Brom play a lot of roulette and stuff. But
right.
And we know how to – it's just almost the at least for Purdue, right? It's been the exception rather than the rule.
Yeah. Well, I was about to admonish you for stepping on all my questions to come, but you totally redeemed yourself with your use of the word placidness. So well done for you. That was sort of my next question is, you know, the quarterback is the one position. We know Hudson Card is talented. You can go back to all his credentials prior to Purdue, all of that stuff, everything you've seen, everything we've heard about him since he's gotten to Purdue, just is that he is a really, really gifted player. But the thing about quarterbacks, too, is if they're going to be in a position to make their team around them something more than it would be otherwise, sometimes they have to have that certain something that, you know, they really connect with their teammates. They really lead. There's somebody that can rally people around them, things like that. Have you gotten any sense yet about Hudson Card in terms of his leadership, in terms of his presence in that regard?
I guess I really haven't. Just from talking to, I guess, some of his teammates after practices in the spring, you got the sense he was well-liked at least, but we're not really going to know about leadership until you're walking in fire. And like I said earlier, when things aren't going your way, you're losing by, you know, 2 points with 5 minutes to go late in the game, and you got the football with 5 minutes to go, what are you going to do? And keeping everybody positive and on track as well, you know. We saw that, we see that with the great ones. I think you alluded to that. They have a way of making other people around them better. And you look at the supporting cast, I think back to Drew Brees. I'm not saying Hudson Card's Drew Brees, but well, Drew Brees really just was able to elevate the play of everybody else. There weren't a lot of great wide receivers on that team. But everybody kind of believes and rallies around somebody like that and sort of just plays better. So like I said, well, I guess that script's to be written. That story's still to be told, I think, as far as really being able to get a sense of Hudson Card's leadership. I'm sure we'll probably get a good look at that at some point in September.
Just to sort of start putting a bow on this thing, we're going long here. You know, obviously Ryan Walters comes in with quite a defensive background. You talk to some of the people from his most recent stop at Illinois, and what sort of vibe did you get from them? If they were being honest, which you never know at Big Ten Media Day, because everybody loves everybody at Big Ten Media Day, but and how realistic is it? Do you think that Ryan Walters can and his staff can really make Purdue the sort of defense right away that it wants to be? Obviously, you're relying on a lot of transfers to have to do that.
Seemed genuine to me. I mean, I spoke to the two defensive linemen from Illinois that were there, Jerzon Newton and Keith Randolph. And It felt, I guess, heartfelt. I mean, there really seemed to be genuine affection for Ryan Walters. And that's something you'd always kind of heard before, how was all the players loved to play for the guy. And they certainly spoke that and made that clear when I spoke with them earlier this week. And, you know, he's been able to almost go that kind of bond already with a lot of these Purdue players. Man, you hear like Sanusi Kane and some of these people talk about Ryan Walters, and there's a real affection for him. I think there's a trust or something. He's able to build trust with these guys. And I tell you what, man, if you can get people that believe in you and will run through a wall for you, I know it sounds cliched, but that's invaluable. And I think what I'm trying to say is, if you know somebody cares about you, aside from just what you do on the field, that means the world, I think, man. These are college players. These aren't pros. I think these relationships really matter. And I tell you what, I know from my speaking personally, you know, boy, if I really feel like somebody cares about me, that's just going to take my whatever I'm doing to another level. And I think Ryan Walters must be that kind of a guy who these players trust and come to and they like. And again, that can be really beneficial in getting the type of effort that he wants, because they're going to obviously trust and believe in what they're being told. So it's a good start. And it's a whole different vibe, I think. I think Jeff Brohm was more of a, I'm here, you're there. And again, you can win in a lot of different styles. But I think there was more of that, I'm the boss, you're the employee, do your job, be professional. There's a lot to be said for that, too. This is just different. And, mm-hmm. and if you're going to make a change, I guess, Purdue certainly made a total 180, I think, here.
No question.
Standpoint.
So, no question.
Just not needing even have an offensive coach. And I will say this real quick, too, Brian. I think the offense coming out of the gate, I have a little bit more confidence in the defense. I know there's questions on the offensive line. I think they got enough there to sort that out. But I think there's some nice skill here at tight end, at receiver, running back. I tell you what, I hear good things about Tyrone Tracy back there. Him and Devin Mockaby could be nice. We talked about Card, Garrett Miller, Paul Perry, Max Clare. Seven or eight nice wideouts. Maybe not a Charlie Jones, but some nice wideouts. I think this offense has a chance maybe coming out of the gate to maybe have a little bit of an edge on the defense. Maybe I'm wrong, but at least right now, initially, I'm a little bit excited about this offense early on.
I said that was going to be it. I lied. One last thing for you real quick. I did not turn my TV on all week. Pronounce the new Big Ten commissioner's name for me and give me your first impressions of him. Is he a visionary? Is he a seat warmer for the next guy? What's kind of your early takeaway there?
Tony Petitti?
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 I am never going to be able to spell that.
He's
too many T's in there.
It's the new wave commissioner, you know, sort of like the ADs, you know. The ADs always used to be the old football coach.
Yeah.
Kicked upstairs like George Perlis or Bo Schembechler. Now they're all the NBA guys, right, with their pocket protectors. And whatnot. And again, this guy, again, like we saw the Pac-12 hire George Kliakoff from the entertainment industry. We saw the Big 12 hire Brett Yormark, TV guy. And now the Big 10's hired a TV guy. It makes sense, right? It drives the sport. And again, he seems like he kind of, you know, I'll be honest with you, when he spoke on Wednesday, he went off the teleprompter for about 20 minutes. And it was like the Charlie Brown teacher after a while, you know. But I'm sure he's a smart guy, right? I've got no sense that he's there just to keep the seat warm for anybody. Some of the heavy lifting looks like it's been done, right? They've got the TV deal finished, and he did have to do some cleanup work on that. They've got USC and UCLA coming in, right? What's next? He was asked about expansion. his bosses are telling him right now just to focus on integrating USC and UCLA. We shall see. But so, yeah, I kind of wonder. I never got a sense of really what his big set of goals, short and long term, really are. But, again, he seems like a smart guy who's going to be able to steer this ship. And like I said, Brian, when he took over, you know, everybody thought this TV deal was buttoned up by Kevin Warren, but it had a lot of loose ends. It wasn't handled correctly. Some things were done without approval from schools, namely those November night games. So, put a company and take our stuff.
Okay, so you just froze up on me there for a second, so I have no idea what you said. So I will assume it was profound enough to have put a exclamation point on this thing. So that's how we'll wrap that up. Tom, thank you so much for your time. Once again, as always, thank you to the Purdue Union Club Hotel for your support. We appreciate it very much. Thank Alan Karpik for his time at top of the show to discuss some of our housekeeping matters from this past week. And a quick reminder here, goldenblack.com. We are not just a YouTube show. We are not just a bunch of Twitter accounts. We have a website. It is goldenblack.com. You can join our horde of wackos by going to goldenblack.com and subscribing to us on the On3 Sports Network. And we hope you'll join us. So thank you so much, everybody, for watching. And we will talk to you again on down the line. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Brian.